हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So this is Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, description of the Bhakti Yoga process, page 30. From Anucheda 11. Okay. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free of all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.16 Udriti Shudapapa. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance. Lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information of the absolute truth. The personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberal servitors in different countries, according to the supreme will. Such devotees of God are most confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely came to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. Yes, so these servants of God, they're respected like that because they're preaching according to preaching the message of the Lord. Time and place means that the thesis doesn't change. What changes is the particular example you use or the context you use in it. You know, so there'll be an adjustment at that point. But there's no adjustment in the message itself. You know, maybe how detailed it is might adjust, or how far they take, you know, how high they go in the progression towards the Lord. So in other words, it'll always be progressive towards the Lord. So they're not compromising anything. They're just maybe how far they take it, like we see with Ramanujacharya, that he takes that up to Parampadam. So that means up to Mahanarayan. Right? So he doesn't go beyond that. So then any other aspects of the Lord, let's say that, you know, the Lord in Vrindavan pastimes or that, this is not above Parampadam, above Mahanarayan. This will be at that kind of level. These different pastimes and, you know, lila avatars and that. So they're not seen above. So he doesn't reveal above that, you know, the dwarka above that, Vrindavan above that. He just details with things that'll be within the context of the pastimes of Mahanarayan. So he doesn't take it up to there. But it's not that this is lacking in truth. It just doesn't go to the more subtle things because that's a matter of taste. That's all. It's just a matter of taste. So there's in the aspect of majesty, and, you know, there'll be the variations of sweetness and this and that, but it's in the context of majesty. So in other words, sweetness is an opulence of the Lord. They're seeing it like that. Right? But he's bringing him to there. He's not taking it any less than that. So there's no question of not talking about the absolute, you know, truth as a person and developing love for him. That is always stated. All the personalities are saying that. It's just how far they take the people on that progression, on that path, according to how much they understand. In other words, they understand more, you take them farther. They don't understand, you take them less. You know, you have a certain amount of time. And if you're preaching this certain area, you're basically getting a cross-section from that area. Right? So it works for that area. Does that make sense? So it's not that there's any, it's just what works there. And so that then engages them. And then if at another time you can take them farther or develops different mentalities and all that, then someone else will come. Right? Yes?
Out of all the qualities of the Lord, I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one place mentions about the quality of him being inconceivable is like, you know, should be seen in the forefront. Mm. Because through that everything else can be comprehended or understood and balanced.
Mm.
So when we see among the qualities of Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu, the inconceivability aspect is seen in terms of how they can perform these activities which are humanly not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's more on the side of the majestical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the inconceivability on the rasa side is where Lord Krishna's uniqueness is, those four aspects which are four qualities which are not even manifested in Lord Vishnu, those are manifested in Krishna. So this inconceivability of rasa is where the focus in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism is more on, which is not exclusively brought out in any other.
Yeah, because you can also bring out that you have how he's controlling the energies, how he expands his up, but you're seeing in the context of that Krishna.
Yes.
So Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa or Keshava Drita Meenasarupa.
Like as you said, when you see it as an opulence, you discuss the inconceivable aspect, but you see in the context of, more in the context of the majesty than...
Yes, yes, of course. They're seeing more in the majesty. And so they're seeing that, and there'll be this aspect of sweetness, because I think the Madhurastakam is by a someone, you know, who's a worshipper of Vaikunthapati. But so it's just a matter of, do you see the whole position of the Lord from the context of majesty? And so then the rasa aspect becomes more, less prominent. It's there. Or you see it in the context of the sweetness, so then the rasa and that becomes more prominent, and the other things are just there to support.
And also
that's
then,
interesting.
And also then, it becomes even more important to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, in the sense of, like, you know, because then the inconceivability of rasa is completely driven by the devotees themselves, because there is no other way. Tattva-wise, the inconceivability of majesty, then as a Shanta Bhakta also one can see to it. I mean, you can have a conception of it. But when it comes to rasa, then it's even more, like, you know, difficult.
Yeah, you just appreciate that the rasa is there, so because rati is there, so you appreciate that aspect of rati, but the depth of what's being tasted, that won't be
Even
seen.
You cannot identify the subtleties at all. Much unless you see those devotees who are interacting with Krishna in that form for me. Yeah, that's why then that point is brought out towards, I think, in Bhakti Sandarbha only later, that when we talk about sages knowing, sages being the most knowledgeable people, Jiva Goswami confronts it by saying, if one doesn't know what is the complete nature of the Lord, then how will we be considered as the most knowledgeable? The Vrajavasis are most knowledgeable because they know exactly what Krishna as a person, what Bhagavan likes and dislikes. So,
And even amongst the Vrajavasis, Krishna also, in Chaitanya, he says that only the gopis, there are quotations there from different shastras, but only the gopis actually know.
Yes.
They cannot know because they are not in this. They can appreciate
it. Yeah. But also, you see with that about on the gopis and the others. With the others, there's no break of character. Means he's the son; it remains that way. It does not extend beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
When you bring up that he's God, this and that, it's kind of a bewilderment for them. And even later, they adjust with, okay, he's God, but he's our son. You know, as you see that, I think there's that quote by Jagannath Mishra, I think. He says, he may be God, but he's my son, so I'm going to chastise him to make sure that he grows up nicely. And there's no question of... So it won't go outside of that. In other words, there's, you know, but we see with the gopis, they can discuss him being in other incarnations, they can discuss on him being Brahman, all-pervading, And many times the opening to the conversations with the gopis always starts with this. How he's all pervading, how he's this, how he's that. So Uddhava's, you know, that message when Krishna at the Rasa dance comes and then talks with the gopis, then this is brought up and then they're having a doubt on him being Atmarama. What is the meaning of this Atmarama? But it's not from the Tattva aspect, and it's from the rasa aspect, you know, because there's the Atmarama who doesn't, you know, he's self-satisfied, so therefore he couldn't care less about anybody else, you know, or there's the Atmarama who's self-satisfied, doesn't even notice anyone else, you know, or then, you know, then you have the Atmarama that he's satisfied and he interacts, so which one are you? Because we came here, we're interacting, and you walked off, so... In other words, they're trying to intimate that he's the one who couldn't care less about anyone else. And then he explains, and then there's that, I cannot repay you, and all that kind of thing. But they're dealing in that level. So in that way, only they actually know the completeness of Krishna's personality. But their taste is just for the interaction is this, but they can discuss any field, or the others you see generally don't. Not within the pastimes. When they come in Gauranga's pastimes, they might, you know, as preachers. But it doesn't get into the rasa aspects. It'll still maintain, you know. It's a difference, because the Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya, they're one group of rasas. They're expanding from the Sambit potency. Right? You know, the Shanta is expanding from Sandini. You know, expanding the field. The other one, the devotees and the interaction. Or the other is the Krishna's pleasure. The Ladi, conjugals from that. So if you know that, you know everything. And Radharani being the Sarup Shakti, but being the topmost manifestation, so then everything is there. Well, then with when you're dealing with the Sambit Sandini, that will be Purnamasi. She's the Sambit. I mean the Sarup Shakti. She takes care of all the pastimes and everything like this. And that way then Radha and Krishna don't have to manage it. You know, they can just taste it. She knows what they want. So just as Balaram is the Supreme Personality, the servant of Godhead, so then she will be in that position of organizing things on that platform of you know, rasa and everything related to that. So, no.
So on the level of these three rasas is Sangit Shakti, on the level of Madhuri Rasa is Kodini Shakti.
Yes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in one of the Dasa Mool, you know, essays. Because I think there's three of them. Mujer Dasa Mool Tattva, Dasa Mool Niryas. I'm not sure if there's another one, but he, you know, he explains it in the Sikshavita. He explains it in Jiva Dharma, also in the Mahaprabhu Siksha. And all these, there's a systematic. So in one of those two Dasamul, Tattva Dasamul Niryas, he gives an extended translation. And so there he explains how the different rasas come from these different potencies. You know, which is natural, because everything's going to have its basis. You know, so the Dham, all the forms of the devotees, the forms of the Lord, all the different paraphernalia, that's all coming from the Sundin. So therefore the appreciation is how he's there, he does this, he's that, all these things are connected. So their prominence is there. They appreciate the other two aspects, but it's from the view of the Sundin. Well then, from the view of the Sundin, the actions and this and that, that's where then those middle three are going to be. They'll appreciate the paraphernalia, they appreciate, okay, then, you know, the gopis love, but it's saying it's going to be from the action. Well then with the gopis, from the Saladini, it'll be from the point of taste, not as much what they're doing. That's why there's always it's a mistake to think, someone will think that I am remembering the situations that Krishna and the gopis, you know, I know all the names, who did what, who was holding the pot, who poured the water, you know, what time, you know, at the, you know, 9:07, then, you know, Lalita did this. But these are all situations. This is all Yoga Maya stuff. This is not Ladini stuff. But they'll think I'm on this highest level. But it's not. The others taste it. It's not explained. That's why you see, as the acharyas get more into the aspects of rasa, when they get to the conjugal, the descriptions are reduced greatly. Yeah. Because it's about the taste. It means because it's so refined and all that, it has an unlimited explanation. Therefore, then he gives examples of everything in the Ujjvala Nilamani. But in there, he's just saying, what is the pastime and who did what? He's not getting into that aspect of the rasa being tasted. He'll mention, you know, particular features, you know, of the five angas of rasa. You know, the stai bhav, vi bhav, anar bhav, santari bhav, and satvika bhav. They'll mention those and give examples. But we see is that the taste you can't explain. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it clear is that if someone says, I'll teach you the taste, or I'll teach you the rasa, then you know the guy is completely bogus. You can't do that. It's like saying, sit down, I'll teach you the taste of, you know, lasagna. What's that? You know, you can give areas, and this brings out this, this is the sour, this is the sweet, this is the rich, this is the hot. I can talk about that, but I can't teach you the taste. It's completely bogus, yes.
I think it's in Sahitya Darpanam, it's described about the rati, the underlying rati is the main sabji, what you want to prepare. Suppose you want to prepare cauliflower, then
okay.
Cauliflower is the rati.
Okay.
And then vibhava, anubhava, sattvika, sanchari are the condiments you add along with that. So basically when you want to describe like when the cauliflower sabji, you first say the underlying rati, and then you describe what all things grow and how they mix.
Yes.
But then the taste of it only when you taste, you know.
Taste it, yeah.
If you know, you know. What is that?
Even though it doesn't sound.
you don't know, you're not supposed to.
In the statute to Mr. Joseph, this verse, Shmati Radharani says that she faults the great sages. They say you cannot understand the, nobody can understand your own pain, basically, from separation from Krishna. And she says, even my dear friends, they can only say, oh my dear friend, be patient. But they don't understand my. So even the closest, they cannot understand what the rasa is, felt in the heart.
Yeah, the experience.
So what let alone?
That's a good point. They can't understand, and they're the closest, so they're the greatest. I mean, it's like, compared to us, you know, Lalita and Vishakha, they're like, basically unlimited, but they're not unlimited. Radharani is unlimited. So they can't actually taste. You know, Krishna's unlimited, she's unlimited. And there are features of her expansions. They may be very great. You know, you see it's that principle. Lalita will be expanded through all the levels of expansions of the Lord. Because she'll be the boob. Right? And then Radharani will be Shri. And Lalita Vishaka will be Nila. Hence, in the Yajna, Shri will be Nila, and then Govinda Gopinath Madan Mahan. These features, and then they all go.
Yeah, I was thinking of these three aspects that you mentioned on Sardini. Something was in there also. Krishna, Govinda, Gopi, Jagavala.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So all of it's the same. It's just a different vichar, a different angle of vision of it. Because there's only one topic, and that's Krishna. And then everything else is just an expansion on that point. And it'll always expand as these acid three features. Yes.
I don't know why it came up, but yes, Radharani Prabhu was describing about what she tastes and all. But then, when she becomes compassionate, that she wants to bestow her mercy upon all the living entities. That's when that compassion mixed with her madhurya, and then it becomes avadharya, and that's what she wants to give. The parents there, I mean, it's trying to see in different contexts, but not mixing both of them. They have a particular happiness, and then, you know, they are having their facility, particular happiness and all. And they want to, you know, share it with others then, but it's out of compassion to their children or that affection and compassion mix. Then they share it. But it's not that you taste the same thing as the parents that raised it.
No,
it's
very far. These also, if you want to grow,
I just saw everybody was bubbling up. So.
No, for me, they're open because you guys want them open. If you guys are thinking, I want them open, then...
It's a milestone.
Yeah, because you have the north wind.
Yeah, it is. But when it cut across, I saw everybody was...
Yeah. Yeah, because only this side it won't come in so much.
All right.
So it's like we are not trying to taste the same thing. But we are trying to just get the mercy of.
Yes.
So the jiva tasting is.
They can different. They can just be. They means the jiva to their maximum can be connected, but you're vibrating along with the greater.
Yes.
You know, it's like on the musical instrument, the sympathetic string. Because it's in tune with the mainstream. When the mainstream hits that note, it will also vibrate. But it's only vibrating in the context of the main one. It's not vibrating on its own. So this thing is that, no, I'll vibrate. Now, that's Vaidhi.
and also that
of course. That one that way.
I didn't even realize that was the one I thought was that one.
Well, at a loss of it. So
investigation.
Oh, yes.
And that's the main reason then, the emphasis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's incarnation is because without touching the Audharya and then appreciating it, nobody can actually think of anything related to Madhurya.
That's a very good point. So otherwise, if you don't have that mood to benefit others, you can't actually enter into it, so the preaching aspect has to be there.
Otherwise, it's just still because you want to go to the pure Madhurya, then it has to move through this channel, there is no other way. There is no other channel, basically.
Yeah, now that's a very, very nice point. Is anybody's phone here?
No,
it's outside. Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting point. So otherwise, if you're not showing that compassion, how will you appreciate it? Because the preaching of Lord Chaitanya is because of the movement of Ram. So in other words, I mean, the idea is that one should be able to tell the difference between those who are proper sampradayic devotees and sahajas, you know, or who have their own speculative idea. Because it means for the mind, all these things will come up, and they'll turn anything into a sadhana. All they'll say is, oh, we don't care about Vaidhi, but they'll create their own Vaidhi. You know, which has no authority and has no potency. But it makes them feel good.
It's like people don't like Varnashram, but they make their own Varnashram.
Yeah, they make their own Varnashram. You know, yes, it means, in other words, the animals sitting on the bureau like that, they're at the top. That's you throw out the one, that you'll get that. It's just, that's the way the modes work. So in other words, if you've thrown out this, the symptom is you will get, you know, the bureaucratic meetings. It's just the way it works. On the idea, everyone's equal.
You throw out the tzad, and you get the bullshit.
Yeah. Like that. It's always happens. Another saying is out of the frying pan into the fire. It's always worse.
I wanted to I read one proper by Prabhupada and one of those that you read and then it's far out but then you never can find it.
Yeah, isn't it? It takes 20 years before you by chance come across it again. It's really, really.
I know it's from CC, at least this time. But there he was explaining the different rasas, the progression. Meaning the only place that I found this. And it's very interesting that they progress, and on each level there is some obstacle that the body has to overcome. And what I remember, on the level of Dasya, although it's already perfect, but Prabhupada says there is this element of something like fear, that the servant is always afraid from the master. So when you overcome this, then
you get that. I think it's Vishramba. That's the point. The cowherd boys, they're not afraid. It's Krishna. He's our guy, you know. He's one of us. So they even think, oh, he killed the demon. They could also kill, but it's, you know, it's more, they would as certainly rather let him have the fun killing the demon.
All the eight aspects of Preeti, then Dasya has Rati and Prema. Prema means you have that possessiveness. In Rati you don't have. But then Sakya has that Pranaya, I think. Yeah, Pranaya, where Prema, Pranaya, Sneha. Yeah, Pranaya means then you don't have that formality.
So it's completely dropped. He may be older than them, so there's that seniority, but it's not, but it's your equals, but you're just the junior equal, or then you have the ones that are the senior people, you know, or the confidential. So that's why the confidential, they'll be the ones that will be connected with the conjugal rasa.
Also, from another point, one makes the mission of the Lord as his mission, then that's more of a sakya. Yeah, because dasya, he just executes what is being told.
Mm-hmm.
And sakya means he's a well-wisher, so he makes his mission, he understands what is the mission of the friend and tries to make himself imbibe it.
Mm-hmm.
And dasya is, you don't think that far, you just execute what is being mm-hmm. ordered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that would be the obstacle. Yeah, I think, I can't remember what it is, so then you have, yes. Also, I think Chaitanya Charitamrita, but also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think, explains in some place. Where else it didn't, wasn't it in Sandarbha also?
On what point, Maharaj?
That means, what is the uniqueness that comes up? And because I remember at one point we were discussing it, they were saying.
I think it's Bhakti Rasamrita.
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Yeah, there it also is.
There it comes out very uniquely.
Yeah,
here that's it will come, it is not yet.
It will come up here.
Yeah.
Okay, it will come up here. So you'll find it again in another incarnation.
I'll find it 6 times in the next couple of months.
Seventh time then.
Because it makes sense, so it's it.
It's interesting how in the beginning you have your life, which is your life, the main thing, and then you read the books. But then at some point the books become the main thing, so you read through the books and then you reach your favorite pastime from this.
Mm-hmm.
And you, oh, I read this like 3 years ago. So it just somehow turns the other way around. The main thing becomes the different pastimes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Your life becomes in the context of this.
Of this, yes, yes. Well, then you know that these are the symptoms that the process is developing. Because otherwise, you have your life, and anything that you appreciate, you'll bring in context of your life. But then when you start doing it the other way around. That's good. It shows the holy name works. It means the process works. Yes, sir.
Inconceivable nature of God in the point of majesty and the rasa. And in the Shkanshadi, the fourth mantra, when we discuss the inconceivable nature, it's about His majesty. Yeah? And can we also discuss here His inconceivable nature in rasa point of view?
If it's valuable, means everything's connected. So from any point, you can see, it's like sometimes you see in Prabhupada lecturing on Gita shlokas, the same shloka, depending on where it is and the people and the progression of the lecture, if it's just one lecture or if there's a whole series of lectures, the same point you see him talking more about the devotional side, sometimes more about the material world and what our position is, that this is not our place, we should go back to Godhead, or about Krishna's control, or we're not in control. All these things are all connected, so you have to see is what will bring the audience forward. So if that aspect comes up, it can be discussed, but it wouldn't necessarily be your base discussion. The discussion is, it would be about the Lord's greatness and majesty and all that, but He's the greatest because of the aspect of the rasa, because otherwise Vishnu is the greatest, but then Krishna, he manifests full form, and so then that takes on something very unique that you don't see.
That's a Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah, more movement went from that, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that
this, it sucks it straight up.
Yeah. You may not accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Lord, But you first accept his instructions and try to follow it. And after following it, you will yourself know, come to the conclusion that he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because who else can give such, you know, understanding about the process of devotional service? Mm-hmm. So the point is, the whole Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and how we follow, it actually brings us to that aspect of appreciating the inconceivability of rasa. And the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, the leela is like that. Every time, then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, either he leaves Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, when he is going to South India Yatra, mm-hmm. Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya requests, and then suddenly he leaves, and Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, he just,
faints.
But Mahaprabhu doesn't turn back, he just goes. So at that time, Mahesh, like, we can't understand what is Mahaprabhu. Sometimes he's more soft than a lotus, and sometimes it's more hard than a thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm.
It just works out. Who can understand? Poetic way, every, at the end of every leela, who can understand the leela of love? That's on the rasa aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, when it's related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's purely the rasa aspect, because he even came as a devotee, and it's like the ambience is Kali Yuga, and then where the whole majestic aspect is not even present, so we want to taste that pure things, then it's through his
healing. Yeah, because he's hidden, is it?
Yes.
So the Tattva side would be that if he's explaining about the Lord, then he'll explain, but it's not in context of him. Then.
So the more confidently we embrace the movement given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line of our acharyas, then it automatically happens. There is no need of exclusive endeavor in that direction.
Yeah, just natural. It's also, it's like that aspect comes out. That's the, this Bhagavatam is giving everything, the whole range. Gita will then specifically bring out that tattva aspect so that we're clear on that. But then Chaitanya Charitamrita will bring out that aspect of the rasa. This is, it still explains very nicely all the tattvas, you know, very exact and everything. But it's in the context of taste. But the taste is something you can only taste. You know, so it says that you know, the foreigners will learn Bengali to taste Chaitanya Charitamrita. So how many are learning Bengali? So that means they're not tasting yet. Same time, Prabhupada made it accessible because he gives all word for word and everything. And in that way, then some will see that.
And on the platform of taste, even the medieval scholastic philosophers, they notice that if you taste, amongst those who taste, there are no disputations anymore. They don't argue amongst themselves. They taste the same thing, so it's a revelation. Okay, so it's okay. There are no more theological speculations, this or that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, they figured that out. And then immediately they attack the guy next to us. Because that gives taste. Yes.
Also, in the aspect of the tasting, when it comes to the poetry, as I said about in the Kavya Prakash or one of this literature, it's mentioned that the soul of poetry is the mood behind the writing, the intent or the mood behind the writing, and then the direct meaning which it conveys. And then the body of the poetry is the clarity, sweetness and the vigor. So when Prabhupada translates in any language, these two are always present. But the ornaments of poetry are the metaphors, you know, other grammatical, these kind of things. Those may not be there because it's a language which is like not so developed, English.
Yeah. So, but you have down again. He'll produce something, but yeah.
Sorry if I offended the language. But
it's not as good poetry in English too. There's some good poetry in English.
Yes, but yeah. No.
But Prabhupada didn't explain. Kind of is the common person doesn't necessarily understand poetry either.
If Prabhupada doesn't explain, this is.
So the sweetness is there.
Yeah.
You know,
vigor and clarity.
Vigor and clarity. Those you see, that would be the writing. And so those who don't appreciate that.
Also, they may have the poetic one, but the more traditional ones in like Sanskrit, the poetry goes well along with the point you want to convey, the philosophy. Mm-hmm. Here then the poetry may not. Like, no, you should see both together separately, and then you cannot, like, both don't blend in very well.
They're not necessarily taking the direct.
Yes.
You said the other is that direct aspect of the taste and the directness of what it says. Well, much of the time when you're studying at least English poetry, it's always about the indirect, what it could mean, and this and that, you know. You know, how you say, you know, King Lear was actually an aardvark who, you know, how you say, you know, lost half his lunch down a rat hole, and he's very upset. You know, stuff like that.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, see, all those years didn't make any sense. Like that, and the other things, they were not actually the senses of different personalities, when he was in the good mood or the bad mood, or this and that. And so. So you just get into these. Yeah. So there's the aspect of, it's not as direct, so that's the point is, Prabhupada is direct.
Yes.
It's very clear, and that's the thing, we're not used to such directness, because you think it's, the more I'm listening to Prabhupada's lectures, the more I'm seeing he's always talking about the same points. And bringing him out, and very directly. But somehow or another, we're not used to that, because he does it in that, you know, poetically, and that, you know, is from the other aspects of poetry. Because we think poetry means it has to be a limerick or something, you know, or a rhyme or that. But poetry is actually the quality of how you say it. You know, we're not used to that level of poetry. You know, we're used to something very obvious.
We are used to this. Samhita of, when I was just joined IIT, one of the professors said, it's Mahavakya. If you cannot convince somebody, you have to confuse. Then you will be considered as very sophisticated. So people who are not having full faith in devotional process and all, so they'll not be convinced anyway. So if you can confuse them with all your word vocabulary, then it is like an elevated thing.
Mm.
So those who are looking for pure devotional thing and all, they can really see it's like Prabhupada, not just it's a book written by him, it's like directly instructing you. Boom, boom, boom. It's like he's sitting in front of you or telling you, do this, you do that. It's many devotees experience it and they share that. It's like Prabhupada directly talking. But otherwise, if we are not seriously looking for that, then we are not convinced. So we want something to confuse. That's how all these other people are. They are more sophisticated. They give something which is not seen.
Yeah. And in the modern and the political correctness, it just confuses.
But I picked up that Mahavakya very seriously.
Okay. And used it to advantage.
If somebody is trying to alloy or argue, they'll just, in order to confuse them, tell something which is very rare, nobody discusses, and it's like, at this point in philosophy comes, and he just lost there, and then you can get away with it. So this is the underlying principle, Maharaj, after saying that people think you're more intelligent if you can confuse them.
Yeah. And it's actually, no. Clarity is the clarity. What clarity, sweetness, and vigor.
It's
because you see sometimes when Prabhupada starts the lecture just on the vigor part, you can see he has no energy. His voice is rough like that, and after a very short time, then you see that vigor comes up, and he's giving the same strength of class.
Also, it's described in. It's described in the beginning of Sahitya Kaumudi by Baldev Vidyabhushan that this clarity, vigor, and sweetness, these are the qualities of Saraswati. Goodness, passion, ignorance, passion, and goodness by Brahma, and the feminine aspect of it is clarity, vigor, and sweetness. That's why anything related to art or something more feminine has these three, instead of categorizing them as goodness, passion, ignorance.
You categorize them that way. Okay, so when you look at the feminine side, you look at it that way.
So which will you want?
Clarity is in the ignorance, and vigor is passion, and sweetness, goodness.
Sweetness, goodness? Okay, because that's the thing, like the blood, you know?
And the positive
aspect. Which was the clarity was the?
Ignorance.
Okay, because it's either clear or not clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the positive.
And then the vigor is the... Vigor is the...
Passion.
Oh, okay, that works nice.
Yeah.
That's also the time.
The more
they can't make it clear, then they confuse.
And people are generally more ignorant, and they can... The negative aspect of ignorance that they catch very nicely.
Yeah. Hence the silence.
Silence.
Because it's actually the confusion.
The deadly confusion.
Yeah. You know, then you control.
Also wanted to say that I read Russian and English version of Sri Upanishad, Skadikar, and there is some difference, especially in this point of fourth mantra in comments. In the Russian version was added also some comment of Sri Bhaktivinoda and to it comment of Sri Bhaktivinoda Prash, which very nicely explained the inconceivable nature of God, and compare and refute on this point the different concepts of Western philosophy, like monism and pantheism, deism, and others. And when Jukha Kritmacha sent me English version, I didn't find it. Because Jukha Prabhu said they edited ledger.
Edited?
Ledger.
Later, okay.
I think it's really nice.
Yeah, no, so then those things, then whoever's done work, then just, you know, it should be contacted back to them, so then they can look at it to, you know, see about including it in English. But, yeah, so it just must come as when it comes up, and then when they're doing it, then they know some quotes, and then they put them in. So just...
Voice message. I think it was somewhere early on, the first or second canto, where Prabhupada mentions pantheism in some regard. Maybe they just saw a connection there and brought it over. Or...
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, you can find it. Because they're also well read. And so then they'll, going through it, because now they're having to analyze it themselves, then they'll remember these things. And I'd say it's also, it's come up more recently, the last couple of years. Because before it would be much of the time is that you bring up something and you discuss and devotees just gently listen. And then what you see is with time is as you have that experience of applying these things and everything. And then you start to make the connections with where it's said in other places by the acharyas. Then it starts coming up. You know, just like here, some point is made, Prabhupada makes, and then everybody has, you know, seen where it connects to other things, so the sangati comes up. So just then, from that, then they would have also then brought in that sangati and then put... So it's just a natural development.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it's just natural. They find nice things and that and bring them in. Then those can also be, you know, seen just whoever's working on the English form of it, and just, you know, they can be aware of it and then be, yeah, so that it's nice and see how it can include in. Because these things can always be developed. Means we're planning anyway that these things will be, you know, because they'll be reading from one place and then see the connection there and put that quote in. Someone else will be reading a different book and see and then put, you know, what put. So this way then all these different connections can all be put together. So then you're seeing how everybody's saying the same thing, you know, just from the different angles. So it's, and we don't realize, you know, because generally the, you know, if you don't understand, you confuse, as you were saying. So many of the devotees writing on the Acharya's works, you know, then so they don't understand something because they say, you know, Prabhupada's saying this, Jiva's saying that, Vishwanath's saying this. So then they bring up the point and start discussing it. They bring up the doubt and then throw out everything so everyone becomes confused. And then they include that chapter in their work. And so you'll naturally think, because he's confused, he throws it out so you can become confused. In other words, he convinces you how to be confused. So therefore, it must be, you know, intellectual and academic and worthy of being in that book, when actually that kind of disservice, you know, people in the past used to be drawn and quartered, or, you know, tarred and feathered, or, you know, guillotines weren't good, you know, sure, how you say, hanging, say, what do you call it? All the guys with their guns.
Oh, firing squad.
Firing squad, you know, like that.
You
know,
I mean, you see where they got all the swords and then the
Yeah. Drop on the sword. I mean, any of these would be a better option, because the point is, if you can't create clarity, then don't touch it. And I'm saying, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about these who have done this in the past, and it seems to be popular. Oh, but Vishnu says this and that, and what are we supposed to think? So if you don't know, why are you writing? You're writing a study guide. Why are you writing that? If you're confused, don't write that in. Prabhupada says, write what you understand. He doesn't say, write your feelings of confusion and how, you know, you're the center of the universe, so if you're confused, everybody should be confused. Prabhupada never says that when he talks about people translating the books. Therefore, it's not a service. It's not intellectual. It's just thought of as intellectual because it's confusing. Like I mentioned, that one man who was saying he had all of Aurobindo's books, and he was a super rich guy. And so then he was talking to me, you know, he really appreciates Aurobindo because he can't understand one word he says. Mm-hmm. It's so pleasantly presented, but it doesn't make any sense. So he says, this guy must be so advanced, so elevated. Like that. So, therefore, that's an illusion. So we should not ourselves use that. You know, it's like these guys doing these podcasts or these talk shows, and they bring people on and discuss confusing things, and they're at the end, they're more confused, and they're throwing it out to confuse, and you think, oh, they're doing a really great service for the movement. Actually, if you deleted them, their computer and all of the stuff you do, you would probably have done something better for the world. You know? So this, it's an illusion, but it's a popular illusion that you do that. So it's just like that. Like I mentioned, I think it was history of language. The first day, the teacher writes and says, as a statement, you know, convince, strong statement. All languages come from Sanskrit. Everything goes back to it. It's the original language. After that one sentence, he never mentioned it again, never made the comparison, took everything back to Latin and Greek. You know, so just, you know, then because you do that more confusion, then, you know, otherwise if you'd taken it back, then it would be. But, you know, or in the history, I think it was it? I can't remember what was the class.
1066.
Yeah, the 1066 one. He just writes it in, you know, like 1 meter high letters. You know, 1066. He says if at the end of the term all you remember is this date, and that it was the only time that, the English were defeated on their own soil. Then, he says, then you know, he'll consider the class a success. So even now, because it creates such a samskar, even now when I see 1866, because the 60, you gotta start with the 1 and you have 66, you just the 8 is there, but 8's like 20. So it creates the same thing. So and then after that, then there's nothing that shows how that was great and so that was so important. You know, how it was either the preliminary to 1066 or it was the results of 1066. No. Then after that, it's just confused. You know, or any of these things. You know, they're statement, you know, this is what's happening and now that. And then afterwards, oh, what does everybody think? And, well, he thinks this. And what do you think? And then just confuse the students. And then they all think, yes, this was a very intellectually inspiring, you know, course. So this kind of foolishness is unimportant and unnecessary, and we see Prabhupada cuts right through that, and then people then try to reduce relativize. You know, we'll get into that into the next class. Yes.
When I was going through my studies, one important point came up, the definition. It seemed to be a very fundamental point in education or even in computers. The difference between data, information, knowledge, and wisdom.
Okay, it's four different things.
Four different things. And they are?
Data?
Information, knowledge, and wisdom.
Okay.
So data is just a pattern of things kept together. Like you have set up something, collected.
Okay.
It can be meaningful. It may not carry any meaning on its own. Like stating the address of a person or just a sequence of numbers.
Or saying
10 to 12.
Well, we ate pasta last week. It's like that. So data, what does that have to do with anything?
Then information is that data which is meaningful, which has some inherent meaning in it. And then
that becomes information.
Information, the data which has a sequence and systematic collection of data together. It becomes information. And then information which can be utilized for attaining some purpose or a goal is knowledge. And then
applying it with
it. Yeah, applying and taking right course of action using the knowledge is wisdom.
That's right.
So this clears many, many things, like, no? And I just got it, yes. Like we are collecting information, nothing, at max, on a good day. Otherwise, we are just collecting data.
It's just data. You just throw in the data, and, oh, wow, there's this. Because you think, okay, it's this, and you say, but what about this data? So the point is as soon as someone says something that's different, you just throw in other data that confuses. So it would also be the bottom line. I mean, one of the subtlety of the ad hominem. You know, it's when someone says something, you just attack the person.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't deal with what they said. You just attack the person.
Even the last three of the 16 padarthas are dealing with that. Chala, jati, nikraha, sthana, all that.
You just create that confusion or throw it off topic or do something, and then that's considered very logical and very, you know.
In computers, Maharaj, this is called DIKW pyramid. It's
DIK.
DIKW. The data, information, knowledge, and wisdom pyramid.
Oh.
Because if you don't deal it like that, then they can't form a proper sequence for artificial logic, intelligence. And they themselves very clearly answered that through machine, you only collect data at max. You can program it to go to the level of information, but
yeah.
Knowledge and wisdom you don't get through machine.
Because there's no value.
Yeah, yes.
Because knowledge needs values. And wisdom means to realize that.
She's thinking too, there's also the reflection of that. So you have the data, then you have the information, but then on the opposite side of reflection, you have the data, then you have the misinformation. Mm-hmm. The stuff that's not, you know, it's not usable. They'll see it as usable,
and then it's not a knowledge.
False knowledge on top of that, and then false wisdom, where they apply the false knowledge.
Okay, so there's a reflection.
Yeah.
So they'll
present it that it looks like it's going through the progression from data to information to knowledge to wisdom, but they're using the wrong stuff, the stuff that's not really applicable to the situation.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Because they don't just stop at presenting the data. They'll give you a logical explanation of why it also means that you shouldn't follow, you know, the actual wisdom.
Yeah.
And there's where the trouble lies. I mean, it's trouble at the beginning, but it's even worse when it gets there.
And therein lies the rub.
That's why the Prabhupada says towards the end, then let's see where you go and where we go.
Yeah.
And then interestingly, when I was reading in the book, the example for wisdom is given, that there's one fellow by name Truman or something. He's one of those first guys who climbed Mount Everest. So he went along with his friends, and then when he went after some distance, he used his wisdom to judge that the conditions are not favorable, weather is not favorable. So he turned back and came back. He didn't go to climb. And then he's the only one who was alive. Mm-hmm. All of them went. So the example given was very profound. I loved that example. So if you don't have wisdom, then...
But if they would have made it, they would have considered him a coward.
They would not have come back, so who will go that way? That they're very, very good.
Because it's like we've come all this way and that, and then we have don't have enough time, and that even though there's a storm, you know, we have this much chance. Well, he just said, forget it.
Wisdom saves lives.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, wisdom saves. Data kills.
Also, the level of manomaya is knowledge from the four Vedas.
Mm-hmm.
And vijnanamaya purusha is all about understanding the inner meaning of the Vedas, the wisdom. That's why jnana and vijnana.
Yeah, and also then the senses are what pulls in
data. Information.
And then that's then digested of what is useful for their social system. So if it's connected to Dharma, actual knowledge, it'll be progressive in what we're talking about. And if it's not, it'll be what Prabhu mentioned, that'll be the misinformation to keep you from going up there, because they'll try to make it within that circle when it has the, you know, what's useful and then what's, you know, what can do things and then their experience from that, you know. Like, if somebody finds out that the leadership is not working well, then it's trouble for them, so that's the wisdom, so therefore then you have to shut it down before it gets to that point. You know, then you create confusion.
And then there are two forms of knowledge, Maharaj. Tacit knowledge and explicit.
Tacit and explicit.
So tacit is which you cannot express, or you cannot pass it, you cannot put it in, express in words or do that. People should catch it. Like he gives example of, you know, a great sportsman, then he plays the way he plays, and then he cannot exactly, he may tell, but exactly how he does, what he does, but it's not, you know, as it is, cannot be taken by others.
Mm-hmm.
But explicit is like what? It can be expressed and stored as it is.
So then, exactly like this, like you said on the team, if there's that teamwork and they all just smoothly know what to do, that would be the tacit. The coach could tell them moves, but what they'll use and when and how and all that, it has to be.
So basically, everything related to spirituality, if you don't have the right mood and all, then it cannot be just taken. So the tacit knowledge is all related to that.
You're qualified.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not qualified, then you can't.
It's impossible.
I'm sorry to throw all my recent data but into the class, but
that's interesting. Shravana, Manana, and Vidyasana. Only that there is no. In the Vedic context, you don't even deal with paper because what do you use? You start from knowledge. Who's going to throw a paper on you?
Yeah, what's
that's what is all instructed not to do. Don't read too many books. Data and information.
Yeah, because unless you can digest it by seeing it in the context of the previous, then it'll just create confusion.
So Sakya is there to determine which data is usable and which is not.
Yes. Even it comes at
it goes up to
first in Nyaya itself, like it's a what is valid and what is invalid knowledge. That's what it starts from, no? The principle of epistemology is to see what is valid and invalid. I feel happy at least all my study had some use.
You study for 1 year, and then after 1 year it comes up, and then there's like these, you know, few points. And that's it. If they started,
if you know that, then you can talk to all these big guys, and they're like,
and if they don't catch what you're saying, then confuse.
You're already confused. Then keep quiet.
No, but if you can confuse them more, then that means you're even better.
That their own mind does it, Maharaj. We need not work on it. We need not even bother with that. You know.
This is very interesting if you analyze it. This is what Maharaj said, that this guy said about Arvindo. That means that, first of all, he has very low self-esteem for himself, because that, for him, if he understands something, that means, by definition, it's not lofty enough, it's not sophisticated, because he understands it. So, high truth for him will mean something he doesn't understand. So he puts himself in a lower position in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then if he finds a cheater who actually cheats him, but logically, then he becomes his guru.
Now that's what is the Vaishya, no? So you are unique. You have something which nobody has, that's why you're special.
You exploit.
Yeah, you exploit, you're special. That gives them the identity, Vaishyas.
And if something is clear, this bewildered person, he will consider that this is low class, because I understand.
Yeah. Well, also you could say is that he's willing to put himself in that on the one side. You know, he's willing to surrender to that, but at the same time he considers himself very elevated, because anything he can understand means everybody else is below him.
Yes.
So to have this unique kind of combination of extreme ego, because, I mean, at the time when I was talking to him, he was the richest guy in India. You know, that means starting from Bihar, from there all the way over, he was the richest.
What is that? Him they may call the parts for.
It means his factory made means people buy chassis on buses. You don't buy a bus. They can get an old bus, but if you get a new bus, you only get the chassis. Sometimes you see driving down the road, there's just a guy on the chassis driving it. You know, like that, a few of them are going, you know, like they're going to, someone must tell me, all those are going to, the driver said those are going to Bhutan, or these are going here or there. So then, you buy the chassis, you take it to this guy, he builds the body, so everything that's then made is made by him in those days. So he was, you know, and there's tons of buses, so.
Yeah.
He was very, very well established. So that way he had, ridiculous ego. He would literally talk on two phones at once with two different people, because talking with one was too slow for him. You know, the guy saying, so we're going to do this, you know. And then, during that time he talked to the other guy. Mm-hmm. You know. And it wasn't he just did it once, like in the you know, Bogdil or something. Every time I went in his office, he was doing it. And at the same time, his secretary was there. He was talking to them. You know, so it's like the modern, how the phone data moves, is that in a conversation, when you stop, that gap does put other information into it. Somebody else's phone call or someone else's upload will go into that gap. So in your time of uploading that you have, you know, let's say it's 5 minutes, but actually in talking time that you're using it will only, let's say, be, you know, 3.5 minutes. So that 1.5 minutes, they sent someone else's data. So somehow or another, he was like that. So then you can see is the false ego he had. So he thought he's the best. So he's looking for the guy to surrender to that he doesn't understand, because he understands everybody else. Any other businessman talks, anybody, he knows what they're talking about. They're all small timers. So he's looking for the guy that he can't understand, and then he will surrender to that guy.
Yeah, I understand. I understand the logic, but it's weird.
Yeah, yeah. But it's such false ego.
It completely works. All these big businessmen, they get thoroughly cheated by all these so-called mystics and this and that.
Yeah.
Who just fake.
Fake, yeah.
Themselves as big. You try to go and up. Talk about pure things, then they're not so appreciated.
Yeah, they'll go. You see, if you talk to them personally, some of them say devotees have told me. They go to says, "I don't know that stuff. Says, I only know this." I said, "Why not that?" You know, said, "That's real. So why are you talking this stuff?" Because this is what they want to hear. And he's willing to get the benefits from that. But people have told. I mean, these big gurus have told them that. That's what they want. So that's what I'm giving.
Generally, all these rich people who become devotees, it's the women who are devotional, and the men surrender ultimately. Otherwise, they themselves. It's advantage, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because women are devotional, there is a high chance that
At least he'll come. Yeah, they'll come along, because she'll go to the temple for this.
If Hari comes along or not, how does it matter? The home belongs to her, so.
Yeah, but I'm saying by going, yes, then he may get some association. And
yeah, definitely. It takes long for them. And even generally they don't become, their children become better. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What?
If he appreciated only that guru can be that person whom it's difficult to understand, he also could choose a
That's interesting. Yeah, you go and give him whatever. That's a good point. But then the problem is he'll go to Gaudiya Matha. Just hand him Jiva Goswami Sandarbha in Sanskrit. So, you know, chew on this.
But at the same time, they're not knowledgeable. So.
Yeah, they don't have the knowledge. It's just that.
He just wanted to listen that he is a god according to my body.
Yeah. It's just a funny thing, because he said, you know, he was supportive of us, but he would, you know, in other words, he appreciated our bhakti. And so he would support, but, you know, on a small level. But the other guy, you know, he would see him, you know, very elevated philosophically. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Jai.